This is VOA News. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton. Taliban authorities pledged to step up security at Shiite mosques as hundreds of people gathered on Saturday to bury the victims of the second Islamic State suicide attack on worshippers in a week. Hardline Sunni group Islamic State claimed responsibility for the attack on the Fatima Mosque in Kandahar that saw a group of suicide bombers shoot their way into the mosque before blowing themselves up amid the worshippers during Friday prayers. Since the Taliban seized power in Afghanistan in August, Islamic State has conducted dozens of operations, from small-scale attacks on Taliban targets to large-scale operations such as Friday's suicide bombing, which have collectively killed scores of civilians. Pakistan has opened its air trade route for the first time to commercial cargo destined to landlocked Afghanistan to help Afghanistan's Taliban government deal with a deepening economic crisis. Mohammed Sadiq, Pakistan's special representative for Afghanistan, tweeted on Saturday that Islamabad International Airport is now opened for high-value Afghan transit trade. Sadiq said a chartered aircraft brought various industrial inputs to Islamabad on Friday, and the Afghan transit cargo was then loaded into containers before being transported by road to Kabul through a crossing on the Afghan border. A bilateral transit treaty enacted in 1965 and renegotiated in 2010 with the United States mediating grants Kabul the right to conduct duty-free international trade through Pakistani airports, seaports, and overland routes. This is VOA News. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson on Saturday laid flowers outside the church where a lawmaker was stabbed to death a day earlier in what police say was a terrorist attack probably linked to Islamist extremism. The attack on David Amos from Johnson's Conservative Party comes 5 years after the murder of Joe Cox, a lawmaker from the opposition Labour Party. The killing has prompted a review of the security of elected politicians. New Zealand held an 8-hour vaxathon on Saturday, in which at least 2.5% of New Zealand's population was vaccinated for COVID-19. That's according to preliminary data showing 124,669 people were inoculated in the country of 4.9 million. Also Saturday, Russia reported 1,002 COVID-19 deaths. It was the first time daily fatalities topped 1,000 in the country since the beginning of the pandemic. Record numbers of daily deaths have repeatedly been set over the past few weeks in Russia, but the government efforts to accelerate the pace of vaccinations with incentives such as bonuses and lotteries have been thwarted by widespread distrust of vaccines and conflicting information from officials. The Russian government said earlier this week that about 29% of the country's nearly 146 million people had been fully vaccinated. And in the U.S., a panel of health advisors on Friday recommended the U.S. Food and Drug Administration authorize a second shot of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine for anyone who's received the single-dose inoculation. The panel expressed concerns that Americans who received the shot are not as protected as those who were given the two-dose vaccinations from Pfizer or Moderna. The Democratic Republic of Congo police fired tear gas Saturday as ruling party activists tried to stop tens of thousands of opposition members from marching to seek a neutral election commission. The protesters voiced their opposition against proposals from six religious groups to install Denis Kadima as head of the National Independent Electoral Commission. They accuse him of corruption and closeness to the president. Southeast Asian countries will invite a non-political representative from Myanmar to a regional summit this month. This delivers an unprecedented snub to the military leader who led a coup against the elected civilian government in February. The decision taken by the foreign ministers of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations marks a rare bold step for the consensus-driven bloc. It traditionally favors a policy of engagement and non-interference. Via remote, I'm Marissa Melton, VOA News.